tu sahana bhunaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so page 92. Sri Devaki continued. O inaugurator of the material energy, this wonderful creation works under the control of powerful time, which is divided into seconds, minutes, hours, and years. This element of time, which extends for many millions of years, is but another form of Lord Vishnu. For your pastimes, you act as the controller of time, but you are the reservoir of all good fortune. Let me offer my full surrender unto your lordship. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In the previous verse, it appears that time is independent. Thus, this verse speaks of time's origin. It speaks of the cause of time. Who does not fear fearful time? That time is your Kriya Shakti or Cheshta. Therefore, the Lord is addressed as the instigator of Prakriti, Avyakta Prakriti Bandho. By the influence of time, the universe runs. What is time? Time is Nimesha, or moments amounting to years, which again multiply into a day of Brahma, Dviparadha. I surrender unto you, Tva, since you are fearless. You can make me fearless. Okay. So here's saying Nimisha, time is moments, right? Because it's all about a moment. Moment is the amount of time it takes to perceive something or experience something. Right? So that's technically an 11th of a second. That's all that's required, right? So now you put that together, then you get days, weeks, months, years. Then it goes into the time of the demigods and into Lord Manvantars and Lord Brahma, like this. Does that make sense? But it's just what you're putting together is moments. That's what's happening here. Because that's the important thing, is what's the point of time if there's no experience of it? Does that make sense? So the experience that we've gained from dealing, that's the time that we value. So that's why it's calculated that way. Right? Because we look at the year, the month, the day, but if you don't get any moments out of it, of some experience, then it's all a waste of time. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes, it only takes a moment. Because it's just that moment where you decide, I'm surrendering. That's all it requires. So if we do that, then it works very nicely. If we don't do that, then we stay a little longer. However many moments that we're not doing that, then that's how many more we have to stay. Srila Prabhupada adds, although we see the causing manifestation as gigantic and wonderful, it is within the limitations of Kala, the time factor. This time factor is also controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, Bhagavad Gita 9.10. Prakriti, the causing manifestation, is under the control of time. Indeed, everything is under the control of time, and time is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has no fear of the onslaughts of time. Right? So, Krishna is in control of time, because as he says, it's part of the Kriya Shakti, or the endeavor, right? Because you make an endeavor, you have to make that endeavor in time. Right? So many moments are spent to make a particular movement. Right? Means to get a result, there has to be transformation. Transformation means movement. Movement means then the effort to put that in. That movement is time. 26. So without time, nothing changes. Does that make sense? So, therefore, cheshta, the effort, that's there, that's part of the Kriya Shakti. So the Kriya Shakti is what transforms things for Krishna's pleasure. What's that based on? His Icha. So since he's beyond, therefore he has no fear of time. Because time is only working under his direction, which means according to his desire. Right? It's fulfilling his desire. We have a problem because it's not fulfilling our desire, so we're afraid of time. But as soon as we give up that concept that it's about ourselves and make it about Krishna, right, then we're not afraid of time anymore. Right? So the fear of time is because we see it separately from Krishna. As soon as you see things connected to Krishna, where's the fear of time? Right? There's no fear. Is it? No question? Oh, that's all. No, but time changes everything. Yes, yes. It means if you want to look at that aspect, it means it's just how far back you want to take it. You know, how far back you want to take it in the line there. You know, because then if you take it far enough back, then it's actually because Krishna's in control and we're not. That's actually the cause of fear. So if we give up that idea that if we surrender to Krishna, that he's the controller and enjoyer. We give up that idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer. Then we have no fear, because then time can't affect us. Because we're only, in other words, the effect of time or the Kriya Shakti, you know, on endeavors is only going to be used in the Lord's service. So what's the fear? So that's what I'm saying. It just depends how far back you want to take. Yeah, but also how far you back is what aspect of the philosophy you're looking at. So we look at here, things transform in front of us. Our house gets old, it falls apart, you know, this and that. You know, we like something very much, it gets old. You know what I'm saying? That always happens. So, yes, you can say that's the effect of the time, because time is doing that. So time brings about those transformations. But the point is these transformations are being brought about. We're thinking it should be brought about for our pleasure, but it's not. It's under the control of higher authority. Not that God wants your pet hamster to die. It's just that living entities in the material world, then they're controlled by time instead of working with time. In other words, they don't perform their devotional service with time to please Krishna. So that's bhakti. Right, but they're performing the activities not for Krishna. So that's the problem. So therefore, here people are controlled by time rather than working with time. And because the desires that one has to enjoy separately than Krishna, those aren't real. You understand? They're not the nature of the soul. Therefore, you can say, well, why does it have to change? Because we change. What we're interested in one point of time, after some time, we're interested in something different. Somebody's totally into skiing until they end up in a Minerva cast. Then somehow or another, they lose some interest in skiing. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the problem, is that we change. Because why? Why do we change? Because nothing in the material world can satisfy the living entity, because it's mundane. It's functioning on an aspect that's not connected to Krishna. Krishna is the eternal. So connected to him, everything's eternal. It's not connected to him, what do you have? He's sat. So if you don't connect to him, it has to be asat. So it has to be temporary. Just by nature, just by science. You understand? So he's the Lord of all of this, because he is existence. Right? So he is also, to have sat, then you have to have asat. So he is asat. He is that potency, but he himself doesn't personally have to take care. His energies take care. So the transformation of his energies, they take care of this aspect. So your hamster dies because of these transformations of energies, because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, and so everything's temporary. So we live in an environment that's temporary. Of course, we want our hamster to live longer, but then, you know, it doesn't work like that. You want things temporary, everything's temporary. You want eternal, then everything's eternal. Right? Does that make sense? But that means it can only be eternal if it's sat, if it's connected with Krishna. So we can't have eternal and not connected to Krishna. Does that make sense? And there won't be temporary that's connected to Krishna. Because if we say, oh, so if I'm a devotee, then my hamster won't die. But the point is what is the hamster? Right? The hamster is the soul. So the soul is eternal. So your hamster doesn't die. The concept of what you have of this soul as a hamster, that may change. But the principle of hamsters, that remains. Yeah, the principle of hamster, you know, hamsterness is eternal. Right? And so then that hamsterness comes from Krishna, so therefore, which is more attractive, Krishna or your hamster? Right? So Krishna. So therefore, then you focus on Krishna.
Yeah. But it's more than there's the hamster, but just say you're like a person and they die. Their soul is there and it goes to Krishna and whatever, but you lose that relationship. So
in one sense yes, in one sense no. If it's like, let's say, with your mother and father, that will be lost, but the principle of mother and father won't be lost. But those particular ones will, because they'll move on and be something else. So every life you have different parents, different family, different relatives.
Yeah.
And for some people, they're very happy with that. They're kind of wondering, why is it taking so long? Why can't the time factor speed things up here?
No, but I mean, if you mourn a relation, like if you mourn the death of somebody, it doesn't mean that you're so like attached, that you don't know that they're a spirit soul and you're so materialistically.
Yeah, but what's the relationship, though? What is the relationship? Because being able to act in that relationship, that's law, but what's the relationship? In other words, if it's a spiritual relationship, yes, that association is lost. If it's a material relationship, then that is also lost. Right? But the spiritual, then that has a value. So you can remembering what you do, you get a benefit from it. So by remembering that and those spiritual activities, because spiritual is, there is no time, you're dealing in the present. So you're getting the spiritual benefit of remembering what you did in the past with that spiritual person. Right? But if you remember in the past what you did with material, friends and relatives, it's in the past, so it brings about the mode of ignorance. It brings more conditioning. That's the part that's lost, because you don't have that association to carry on that spiritual practice. You know what I'm saying? You're associating with them, therefore there's that spiritual aspect.
But there's also an affection.
Yes, but it's based on the spiritual position.
Okay.
If it's not, then that point, that'll give you trouble. But in any case, it's connected with Krishna, so therefore it has value. Anything connected with Krishna has value. Like we said before, we cook the potatoes, we offer it to Krishna, maybe intended for ourselves, right? But because it's connected to Krishna, it gets purified. Now if we cook it just to please Krishna, that will get the best benefit.
Yeah. So if I cry about my pet hamster, then I can't, I'm only crying about the children. There's no way we can have any spiritual. There's not really any way that we can have a spiritual benefit.
Not so much. Like that. I'm not sure exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you can think of some example how the material energy, expands and contracts, you know, so your hamster starts walking with the front legs and then it walks with the back legs, so it expands and contracts or something, and so then you can see the greater principles of the workings of the universe, and the universe is round, the hamster's round, like that.
Because there's such a strong connection between them, because they would like take care of her since she was a child, and she did it really, like, there was some great affection between them. So the bond is so strong. She still sees them in her dreams. They give her some. They have some association, and she still says that I wish I take birth from that family. And it's kind of like, so it can be very strong.
Yes, but what is she attached to? And that relationship is what? It had to do with souls, or it had to do with the conditioning, right? And then where does that conditioning come from? Those are aspects of the universal form. So she's attached to the universal form. So everyone's attached to the universal form. It's just that they think it's the material, the external matter, the external forms that is the cause of that. Do you understand? Yeah, because you could say, but it's the soul, this and that. Then why is it when the soul is in a small body, they act in one way, and when they're big, they act differently? Because it's the same soul, so in other words, it's not the relationship with the soul, it's the relationship with the conditioning. And that happens to be manifesting through that particular physical nature. You understand? So the modes of nature are in control of that. So that's Krishna's arrangement. So all those qualities that you're attracted to, those are there in Krishna. So that's why they're attractive. Because Krishna is the origin of those features. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the aspect. So to take birth in that family again, you may take birth in a family like that has that similar kind of conditioning. Depending upon if your nature is still the similar like it was before, and theirs is also. You know what I'm saying? But point is it won't be necessarily the same souls.
Yeah. Because it looks like, you know, it almost looks like Janami Janami Hoya of Hilas. It's like so similar. It's too similar.
Yeah, yeah. No, the point is that but why not be born in a family in Braj? Wouldn't that be better? That's where it goes back. That's how you purify it.
Yeah.
It's what you're attracting. It's not saying one's not attractive, but what are you attracted to and where does that come from?
Yeah.
You know? So that's the whole thing. That's all coming from Krishna. So therefore, if that's all coming from Krishna, then Krishna you can be attached to eternally and he doesn't go away. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because there are people, every devotee's life, that you don't have any spiritual relationship with them, like,
right. Yes. Yes.
Because you're gonna just morph
with
that relationship.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the point. Is the principle of you know motherhood or fatherhood or you know siblinghood. You know all these different things like that. Those are forms. Those are based on Krishna's potency. Right. And then that's based on Krishna's desire. So in other words, kids are cute because of Krishna's desire. Because that's how then Krishna, as a kid, then he can be cute and make Mother Yashoda happy. Time is estimated according to movements of the sun, Savita. Every minute, every second, every day, every night, every month, and every year of time can be calculated according to the sun's movements. But the sun is not independent, but is under time's control. Brahmati Sambhrita Kala Chakra. The sun moves within the Kala Chakra, the orbit of time. The sun is under the control of time, and time is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord has no fear of time. He controls time, so therefore things work according to how he wants them to work. Right? Sun is how time manifests. That's how you measure time. But time, the sun is moving in the Kala Chakra, in the circle of time. Right? So that potency of time, which is Krishna's potency, then that's what makes it work. Why there wouldn't be sunshine?
So, like, after Swargaloka,
why wouldn't there be sunshine up there? Then how does it, how would you get a day of Brahma? No, but where does these ideas come from? I've never heard it. Anyone else has heard that? There's no sunshine on?
There's no sun in the lower planets.
Because Bhumandala blocks it. See, Bhumandala is very wide, and the lower planets, the talas are only 10,000 yojanas wide. So the sun just doesn't get down there, right? Because when it goes out so far, it doesn't even get out so far. Does that make sense? Because you have the loka mountains, and they block there also. So something's blocking. So what's blocking in the heavenly planets? Because Meru's there, but it's, the sun's moving outside Meru. The heavenly planets are sitting on top of Meru. And then you have the planets above that. So why wouldn't the sun make light? Yeah. No, there shouldn't be any problem. The sun. Yeah. Without the sun, then no light, but it's there. It's the lower planets that don't have day and night. That's why they have no concept of time. That's why they don't worry about time. Like, you go into one of these fancy new malls, so much time can go by because there's no day or night. Doesn't matter what time you go, it's always the same. So that's what it's like living in the lower planets. It's like living in a mall. And there's, you know, I say, but there's, out of, there's seven planetary systems like that. So on two of those, then there's all the celestial snakes that all have jewels on their foreheads. So that makes all the light that bounces around down there. So there's enough light you can see, you know, like in the mall, but it doesn't get day or night.
Original night. The original night.
Nightclub. Oh, the original nightclubs. Yeah. But, you know, whatever it is, it's just the right for them to hang out. The Lord is addressed here as Avyakta Bandhu, or the inaugurator of the movements of the entire cosmic manifestation. Sometimes the cosmic manifestation is compared to a potter's wheel. When a potter's wheel is spinning, who has set it in motion? It is the potter. Of course, although sometimes we can see only the motion of the wheel and cannot see the potter himself. Therefore, the Lord, who is beyond the motion of the cosmos, is called Avyakta Bandhu. Everything is within the limits of time, but time moves under the direction of the Lord, who is therefore not within time's limit. They are moving backwards. Yes. In 24 hours, they all move backwards. But they're moving. They have their path they're following where they move forward.
Oh, but we see them.
But the celestial wind blows them backwards. So in 24 hours, let's say like the sun, right, you have 360 degrees for a circle. So in 24 hours, the wind will blow it backwards 360 degrees, right? But in that 24 hours, it will move forward 1 degree. So that, therefore, there's 360 solar days that go around. So for it to go around Meru. So it takes the sun a year to get around Meru, you know, counterclockwise. And clockwise, they're blown around in 24 hours. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what's going on. So all the planets are like that. Because they're all connected with the sun, so everybody goes around. Yes. The potter is the Lord, so Hari Potter. He's the original potter. Sri Devaki continued, "No one in this material world has become free from the four principles, birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you. And the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace." Srila Prabhupada comments. The constitutional position for the living entity is eternity. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire nitya sashvato yam, Bhagavad Gita 2:20. Every living entity is eternal, but because of falling into this material world, one wanders within the universe, continually changing from one body to another. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 19.151. Everyone is wandering up and down within this universe, but one who is sufficiently fortunate comes in contact with Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the spiritual master and takes to the path of devotional service. Then one is assured of eternal life with no fear of death. When Krishna appears, everyone is freed from fear of death. Yet, Devaki felt, we are still afraid of Kamsa, although you have appeared as our son. She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be so, and she appealed to the Lord to free her and Vasudeva from this fear. Yeah, because they're seeing it in relationship to service to Krishna. So if something happens to Krishna, then what happens to their service? Right? Does that make sense? But it has that element of yoga maya, otherwise why would they consider that they're the one protecting the Lord? Right? Sri Devaki continued, My Lord, because you dispel all the fear of your devotees, I request you save us and give us protection from the terrible fear of Kamsa. Your form as Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is appreciated by yogis in meditation. Please make this form invisible to those who see with material eyes. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. You are fearless and your devotees are fearless. Then why, O Lord, do you keep your mother and father in fear? This is the intention of this verse. Ghora here means great fear. Out of great fear, she does not mention the name of Kamsa directly, but uses the word Ugrasena, Atmaja, son of Ugrasena. You destroy the fears of your devotees. But why do you not remove our fear? Devaki imagines the Lord responding, O mother, I have appeared to kill Kamsa. Bring Kamsa here, and I will kill him before your eyes. Fearing such talk from Krishna, Devaki, out of motherly affection, thinking that her small child could not kill Kamsa, and rather worrying about harm coming to the child from Kamsa, became more fearful. Her body began shaking. Then she considered, It is not suitable to follow the strategy of showing fear before my child, who is showing himself as God. Rather, using sweet words is a better policy. Thinking in this way, she began to reason in another way in order to get her child to change his form. Thus she said, O Master, this splendid form, which is the object of meditation, should not be visible to human eyes. So you see the mood there. So it's that devotional aspect. So they're not seeing themselves as the controller and enjoy it. It's about how they want to relate to Krishna. What is the nature of the what aspects of devotion have they taken shelter of? Right, the devotee is known as the ashraya. What aspects of devotion that they've taken shelter of? Right, or what has taken shelter of them? So means bhakti has all the aspects of rasa, right? But let's say for Devaki and Vasudev, they've taken up or taken shelter of that mood of seeing Krishna as their son. Therefore, then those aspects of seeing Krishna in that way, that's their devotion. So they can only see him like that. Does that make sense? In the relationship. So they'll see him as the son, so therefore his parents, you have to take care, you have to do all these things, you have to protect. So then they're going to take that position. And from taking that position, then that's their devotional service. So Kam said, then if he comes and disturbs their child, that will disturb their relationship. Right? They won't be able to please Krishna in that way. Therefore, then they're asking that Krishna makes it so that they can't be seen by human eyes, because then Kamsat, being material, will only have human eyes. Therefore, he won't be able to see him. Does it make sense? So the whole idea is why their position of this is because of their affection for the Lord. Same time as being Dwarkavasis, they also understand how he's the Supreme Lord. Right? So that aspect of Paramatma. They appreciate that and how he's God and how he's taking care of everything. But they'll generally be in one or the other, like that. Or at least one will be prominent. Right? So you see, sometimes the forms are in one way, sometimes in another, or they'll talk in one way to substantiate the other. Like here she's talking about his greatness and how he controls everything for the purpose of getting into a justice shape for the relationship. So that makes sense. Have to speak more loudly.
That would be correct to say that because the sweetness of relationship has more possessiveness, we usually define it. So yeah. We say that because of not as much possessiveness as presented in relationship with Devaki, Krishna has more of a control on his side.
No, it's just a matter of he only reciprocates how they do. He's not trying to control. He just reciprocates how they deal. In control, but the mother is there with the child, they're smiling, they're interacting, they're chatting, you know, the child's like that. So is the comment you're going to, what is the comment you're going to say about this? Huh? Not that, wow, mother is so in control of this child. Then? Why use that on Krishna? You understand? Okay? Yeah.
So Maharaj, Krishna is always reciprocating with everyone.
Yes.
It can be at a spiritual level or even if...
He always functions on the spiritual level with the soul, but because the soul identifies, that's how he deals. Just like, let's say, again, you take the child. The child has dressed themselves up as Superman or something, then how does the mom deal with Superman? Right? Yeah, Superman. So Superman better sit down and eat his breakfast before he's late for school. Right? You know. You understand? So that's just the soul identifies themselves as the particular manifestation of their conditioned nature. And so Krishna reciprocates according to that. But at the same time, it's all about the nature of the soul. You know, a sense, like the parent is dealing with the child according to how the child's identifying at the moment, but they also are overall seeing him as the child. Is their actual position and relation. So you're going to be, Krishna deals with he sees it in the one as the actual position, but deals with it according to how we see. So as we change how we see, then Krishna changes how he reciprocates. Does that make sense? So, in other words, if we approach Krishna as, you know, Artar, Tarti, Jigyasu, then he'll reciprocate in that way. But as we change to pure devotion, then he'll reciprocate according to that. Does that make sense? So for Krishna, it's not a problem dealing with all these. The change is us. We have to change our consciousness. The facilities we have may not change, but how we see those facilities and how we want to use those facilities, that's what will change. It's up to us, yeah. I mean, it's not that material nature is not going to encourage you. You know, that's her business, is to encourage you to ask why. Right? So you can see, is there must be some higher principle here. Because generally, much of the time, at least when they're younger, parents aren't famous for encouraging their children to ask why. Because once they start, they ask why on everything. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but here is that, you see, material energy is trying to get you to come to that position of human life, of asking why, and then continuing in that. Because as you, in other words, as you turn your face, then she will try to shut the door, you know, and keep you going towards Krishna. That's what she's doing. We can say, oh, she makes all these arrangements and makes it all bad. She's just trying to close the doors. You know, so, you know, it's like cattle. You know, you get them herded in one direction through the gate, then you close the gate. You know, otherwise they wander back. So that's what Maya is doing. But because we identify with it, therefore it bothers us. But if we don't identify with it, then what does it matter? Wherever situation you're in, you're going to serve Krishna. Right? So what's recommended, then you take up that position. In other words, for your nature, what's the recommended situations to be in and to serve Krishna in what recommended way? So since if there's no attachments, you just follow what's there. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. Is that we try to make comments about the system because of our attachment. We try to present a bit, but attachment is, you know, on except for the sentiment. It means attachment seen in the glorious aspect, as long as you see it as the sentiment. Right? But that works on a personal level. On a social level, then we want, you know, then there's the intellectual aspect. So the intellectual will be seen as a higher position. So desiring the highest position for ourselves, therefore we'll mask our attachment by trying to present it as some kind of nice scientific philosophy. Oh, it's Kali Yuga, we can't do these things. And no, it's Kali Yuga, you can only do these things. You know what I'm saying? It means, here's your alternative. Devotional service or 3 foot tall? And Kalki's cutting off your head. These are your alternatives. You know what I'm saying? So the point is we're saying you can't do these things, when actually you can do these things. You just have to want to do them. You know, it's just like, can the 11-year-old, let's say, either before dinner or after dinner, do his homework? He could do it. Does he want to do it? No. So what's the obstacle of getting it done? Simply his desire. But he could be saying, oh, it's Kali Yuga, and, you know, in this age we only chant Hare Krishna, or, you know, we're not this body Prabhu, and, you know, like that, because, you know, because you do your homework, because you're a student, so I'm not this body, so I'm not a student, so I don't have to do homework. Yes. Right? So does any of that apply? No, that's why the mother doesn't change her position. You know? Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to get to. We change our mentality, then the whole Krishna and the material energy change how they deal with us. And even if they don't, we don't care. Right? If you decide to do your homework, you don't care that others are doing other things. Does that make sense?
How is it that you perform the duties without attachment? Because your attachment, your nature is from your previous karma and body and whatever due to your attachments. That's how you got it. And you perform the duties according to your nature. So
yeah, but you can perform, but that's what you have. Of what you do with it, that's you still have the free will to do with it. It means what you have, that's not free will.
Yeah,
but what you do with it, that's free will.
Yeah.
So then?
So you can either not do your duty or do your duty.
Yeah.
But if you're going
That's why there's vikarma, akarma, karma,
yeah,
and okarma.
But if you're going, if you're doing your duties, it's going to be something you like, you know, because that's your nature, so it's something you like, so there's going to be some attachment there.
No, but that's the beginning. No, but why does doing something without attachment mean robot? I mean, most of the robots that we've seen, then they're quite cute. You know?
I don't know. For some reason I see that. I don't know if it's...
Like Japan, they make little robots, but no one has space, so they don't have to... They make a robot dog, right? But it's because the dog's nice, that's why you like it. So all I'm trying to say is, why is it that doing something because you're supposed to or because it's duty means robotic?
Either that's from me or the movement, I'm not sure.
Could be both. It's from the Western paradigm, which does not socially come up to the standard of Dharma. See, because if you're used to working at akarma and vikarma, there's no concept of karma, therefore it's difficult okarma, right? These become very difficult because I'm doing something. Vikarma means I do it because I want the result. Akarma means I don't want the result, I don't do the work.
No, hang on.
Okay, and Narad Muni is like totally attached because he's such a nice guy.
No,
I mean, everybody knows he's just like really, really attached. Yeah.
Okay.
What about Prahlad Maharaj? Yeah, another one. Right?
Okay, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Because see, if you give up attachment but don't become attached to Krishna,
yeah,
that's where the problem is going to come.
Yeah.
But the point is that's a stage in between anyway. So understanding, that's why we emphasize more the attachment to Krishna than the means. The detachment from Maya is only because it gets in the way of attachment to Krishna. But if we think detachment from Maya is a value in itself, that's where the dryness comes.
Yeah, because when we think of renunciation and detachment, we think of like vanaprasthas and sannyasis, and that's like, that seems just really
okay, let's take a scenario. Okay?
No, I get what you're saying.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah,
you don't want to go into the example, right? Yes, probably better.
No, you can go for it, but
I'd say there's no need
time.
To. Okay. As long as you understood. I say it's like, what do you call it? Like Prahlad Maharaj says, the cure is worse than the disease. Right? So, okay. Yeah? So what we're trying to get to is attachment to Krishna. So then we are acting out of attachment.
Yes.
But it's detached from the material energy. So it means the form of detachment, in other words, the form of detachment is the same form as bhakti. Just detachment means it's not for Krishna, it's just not for anybody. It's just because you're supposed to. That has the mechanical aspect. So the point is bhakti already includes detachment. But so that one is aware of that, then we talk about that. You're doing the duty to please Krishna, you know, without attachment. Otherwise, yes, we'll do it to please Krishna and ourselves and our, you know, family and, you know, like that. So that you have to, it has to be to please Krishna alone. Right? Because that then includes everything else. If you have Krishna, you have everything.
That's the important.
That's the important point. If you have that, then there's no dryness.
Yeah.
But if you only have the giving up of the material world, you have all good qualities and they get all piety for that and all kinds of, you know, benefits from that, but it will be dry.
Because some people use that philosophy that you just do it for Krishna, but actually they leave out everything else, like the manager for the society or whatever, and just do it for Krishna, and then people get neglected or
yeah.
smashed.
But how is that for Krishna? Because well, Krishna cares for all the living entities, so it's not for, just for Krishna.
It's for the temple or just
but
the
but this, it's the temple is for what? The temple is just the walls and everything like that.
Yeah.
So what makes a temple? We have a nice building. Okay, we have a fabulous temple. No one has to go to it. It'll just run on its own, right? So that just means that the understanding is not broad enough.
But that philosophy is used
all the time. When it works for you. And when it doesn't work for you, then it's the opposite. So you'll hear both. Those who feel themselves in a position of authority may use those, and those who are not in a position of authority will use the opposite. So the whole point is until Krishna is seen as the center point of everything, then you'll always have these dualities.
Hmm. But I think from both sides, they are trying to see Krishna.
Yes, so as they advance, then it'll start to work.
Yeah.
But just as much as there's a problem with the one side, the other side is having a problem.
Yeah.
Like before, used to say like that and just get things done and not care about anybody and all that, but nobody cared. And so therefore it went very smoothly. Because they didn't have. So the problem is that we're saying is that some authority has that misunderstanding, but the people who are complaining have the same misunderstanding and the opposite. So therefore, opposites attract, and therefore then otherwise, what's your position unless there's an opposing force?
Yeah.
Right? Means if everybody's nice and liberal and wonderful and that, then what do you talk about? It's nothing. You know, it gets boring. Like even on the plane, I'm on the plane. Sitting next to me is someone from, you know, another country. Like someone once from Europe, somebody from Australia. And when they find out I'm from America, what's the question they ask? There's only one. You know, what's your opinion of Trump?
Oh, okay.
That's it. I got to fly around the place forever. No one asks me about the American president. Right? And that doesn't matter what country they're from. Everybody wants to talk about Trump. You understand? Why? Because then it gives some value meaning like that. He's talking so strong in one way, so people talk the other. Everybody's talking all this touchy-feely, this and that. There's nothing to talk about. So then... Yeah. Huh? I don't remember. But I was always shocked. Why are they talking? Why do they... Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could probably say, well, the last time I was there, Bush was president. And I'm talking about senior Bush. Yeah. Yes. That was when I visited. I think Johnson was president. Okay. Devaki wanted to see whether the Supreme Personality of Godhead had actually appeared or she was dreaming the Vishnu form. If Kamsa were to come, she thought, upon seeing the Vishnu form, he would immediately kill the child. But if he saw a human child, he might reconsider. Right? In other words, Vishnu, definitely he's going to try to kill him. But if he's not Vishnu, then there's a chance. Right? Devaki was afraid of Ugrasena Atmaja. That is, she was not afraid of Ugrasena and his men, but of the son of Ugrasena. Thus she requested the Lord to dissipate that fear, since he is always ready to give protection, abhayam, to his devotees. Thus, while praying to the Lord for rescue, Mother Devaki expressed her motherly affection. I understand that this transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by great sages. But I am still afraid, because as soon as Kamsa understands that you have appeared, he might harm me. So I request that for the time being you become invisible to our material eyes. In other words, she requested the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child. Devaki was so afraid that, because not that he should disappear, right? He just didn't take the form of a child, you know? That he said, oh, okay. Now, wait a minute. Yes, but it says. Yes, but it says here, but that he would how you say? That we just read that. Oh, it was the page before. Okay. If Kamsa were to come, she thought, upon seeing Vishnu form, he would immediately kill the child. But if he saw a human child, he might reconsider. Thus she requested the Lord to dissipate that fear, since he was always ready to give protection to his devotees. Right? So, because if he's expressing the motherly affection, then mothers don't like their kids to disappear. Right? So therefore, we will see it in the context of that his Vishnu form would disappear and he would manifest the child form.
Devaki, she is in a very intense situation with her son, with her brother Kamsa. It's very, very intense about the different feelings. She needs to adjust to that.
Yes, but I'm just saying, what's the angle? I don't quite get the angle.
This means it must be very intense for her.
Yes. But the point is it's going to be intense anyway. See, it's just basically when you're dealing with the feminine nature, you're dealing with intense, more intense, and, you know, totally intense. Like these are your options. So intense is standard. Because if it's not intense, it's boring. Right? If it's not intense, then it's a tracksuit. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Did that make sense?
Yes. I thought Arjuna wasn't intense.
It means that was there, but at other times, then you see they're very peaceful and everything like that. But even they're sitting out in the forest and they're peaceful, then Draupadi's not peaceful. You know what I'm saying? It's just, that's what taste is. In other words, the feminine nature is to create situations for interaction. There doesn't have to be a logic to what is being used as a medium. Men always expect that there'll be a logic to it, but there doesn't have to be. There may be, but there doesn't have to be. It's just, in other words, it's a cause for interaction. There's no, you could say, necessity that there is an interaction, but you create a forum for interaction. You understand? That's the masculine and feminine nature. So, does that make sense? So that's what's going on. And so then the more intense it is, then the greater the taste. So with Krishna, because he is Purusha, he doesn't have any problems then dealing with Prakriti. Right? So, therefore, then all these different varieties, all these different things aren't a problem for Krishna. Intensity is not a problem. And even obstacles aren't a problem, because if you deal with eternity, at some time it has to work out. Otherwise, how do you move on to another taste unless something works out? But it's not that you can't multitask and work on many tastes at once. Therefore, as one develops, it runs into a problem. So you bring up another one, and then that runs into a problem. And eventually one one works out and then you bring up a new one. You understand? Because you can't bring up a new one unless you've concluded an old one. You know what I'm saying? So at some point the feminine nature will conclude something. But it doesn't mean for taste you don't create obstacles. Does that make sense? So for Krishna, because you're dealing on the eternal platform, there's no problem with all these obstacles. For us, because we're trying to be the controller, therefore an obstacle is again proving that we're Prakriti and not Purusha. And that's not the conclusion we want. Does that make sense? So for us, these things are a problem. But for the devotees, it's just opportunity to serve as it changes, as it's adjusted. It just gives different flavors and tastes for Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay, so here, I understand that its transcendental form is generally perceived in meditation by the great sages. But I'm still afraid because as soon as Kamsa understands that you've appeared, he might harm you. So I request that for the time being, you become invisible to our material eyes. In other words, she requests the Lord to assume the form of an ordinary child. So there it is. So that's the point, is he doesn't take the form of being Vishnu, he takes the form of being a child. It'll still be Krishna, but, you know, that makes sense. Because then he won't understand he's Vishnu. So. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti ki, Jai Nitai Gaur.